Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abel. Gentlemen.
Thanks, Maggie. Hey, Mark.
Hello, Mike.
We can barely get through a poem without talking about statins and cholesterol. You've chosen a very interesting article from Circulation, published at the end of 2017. It begins on page 1878. It looks at primary screening. In other words, screening and treating patients who have no symptoms of cardiac disease. It attempts to answer the question, in men with low-density lipoprotein cholesterol levels of 190 milligrams per deciliter or higher, are statins effective as primary prevention? Should we be spending the money and the time and perhaps risking some of the complications of the drug for these men that have no symptoms yet? Mark, what did they find?
Yeah, so this was from the journal Circulation, and it's based on the West of Scotland Coronary Prevention Study, or sometimes called WASCOPS. And it was the first large randomized trial of statins. And it was done, published originally in 1995, so over 20 years ago. And it really was the basis for a lot of the initial statin recommendations. The recent ACC-AHA lipid guidelines recommend that we assess patients' risk, and in patients for primary prevention without known heart disease, that we look at their 10-year cardiovascular event risk and then target the intensity of a statin based on that. So moderate intensity if they're moderate risk, high intensity statin if they're higher risk. But they also say if their LDL is greater than 190, just put them on a statin. Doesn't matter. That's high enough that we don't need to assess those patients' risk, kind of like somebody who has known heart disease. So they're actually, that was based on pretty weak kind of evidence. It was based mostly on observational data and expert opinion. And so these authors went back and looked at the WASCOPS data, and that study had enrolled men only. This was back in the good old days when men were more studied than women, unfortunately. 45 to 64 years, they had an LDL of at least 155, and they randomized them all to pravastatin, Pravacol 40, or placebo. The average age of the population was 55. Their mean LDL was 192. So what they did was they reanalyzed the data, and they limited their analysis by excluding anybody who had evidence of vascular disease, and then linking it to 20 years of observational follow-up for those patients. So the original trial followed for maybe 5 years or so. This is a much longer follow-up. And what they looked at was separately patients who had an LDL of greater than 190 and less than 190. What they found was a consistent relative reduction in cardiac events for the combined outcome of cardiovascular death, MI, and stroke. The relative risk reduction was 25% if they had an LDL of at least 190. And that's a pretty substantial relative risk reduction, and these men had a high baseline risk. There were favorable trends, not quite statistically significant for all-cause mortality and cardiovascular mortality with the use of statins. There was also a significant benefit in terms of non-fatal MI and coronary heart disease death as a combined outcome. The results were pretty consistent during the 20-year follow-up period, although if you looked at that longer follow-up period, the reductions in all-cause and cardiovascular death were statistically significant for the group with an LDL of 190 or higher. So if you looked longer out, they did have significant reductions in all-cause and cardiovascular mortality. So one issue with this, maybe this isn't totally generalizable to the U.S. population nowadays. In that study, 44% smoked, and current U.S. smoking rates are closer to 20%, and less than 2% had type 2 diabetes. Rates are clearly higher here in the U.S. But given that caveat, basically this supports the idea that if someone has an LDL of 190 or higher, that we just put them on a statin because we know that that group, regardless of their calculated risk, has a significant reduction over the long term in mortality.
Interesting. I mean, this has been an ongoing debate. There's a labeling effect that we have talked about in terms of labeling somebody who's otherwise healthy. And this is interesting. I mean, so this goes back to that data with all the caveats that you said. It's about men and it's about people that smoked more, et cetera. But you're making a compelling argument that we ought to stop fussing and just put those guys on a statin.
Yeah. And I think it's one of the challenges of this new guideline is that it requires this risk calculation, which is a pain. And these risk calculations often actually overestimate risk. And there have been some studies comparing the risk prediction and outcomes in more contemporary populations. And they show that in general, as we've done a better job of managing cardiovascular risk factors and as smoking rates have gone down, that these risk equations tend to overestimate risk somewhat. So, you know, it's complicated. I mean, I think it's a good step in some ways that we've moved toward looking at risk as the basis for whether someone gets a statin or not and away from this targeting. Although, you know, there's certainly a lot of pushback. And in practice, I think a lot of people still do the targeting of, I got to get their LDL under 100 or I got to get it under 130 or I got to get it to 70 or whatever. So I think this is all evolving and it'll be interesting, you know, to watch this over the next couple of years. Are we going to move back towards some kind of more targeted statin use where we still follow levels, or will we move further toward a fire and forget strategy where we just say, okay, your 10-year risk is 15%. You're going on atorvastatin 40. That's, and enjoy it. We're not going to bother, rechecking levels, et cetera.
I mean, obviously, cardiovascular disease is complicated, and cholesterol levels is just one component of risk. And so it seems to me that if one focuses overly on cholesterol as a surrogate marker of risk, you miss the opportunity to look at the both protective as well as damaging effects of other risk factors. And so I think your point about looking at risk as the outcome rather than a particular lab value is well taken.
Sounds good.
We'll talk to you again next week. Thanks, Mark.
Okay.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem. Mm-hmm.